often seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It's Monday, everybody. It is the October 18th edition of Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Barry, I haven't had a time to even say hi to you this morning.
Yeah, good morning. How's it? Hey. How was your weekend? Did we catch any? Did we get any fishing in? It got chilly here.
Yeah, no fishing. Well, you know, honeydews all weekend.
Well, yeah. Like,
well, the market looked kind of not very good this morning, but this is one of those days where it's a lot better than what the indexes would indicate. I look underneath the surface of the market, and it's not bad at all. We're off to a very good start here with our portfolios. Right now, the S&P is down just 1 point. It was down quite a bit this morning. A lot of China news today. 44.70 on the S&P. The Dow is down 83, 35,212, but the NASDAQ has now gone positive, and that's where the strength is. I'm seeing a good strength in Amazon and AMD and Cloudflare and Snowflake and stocks like that. The NASDAQ actually up 13 points right now to 14,908. Maybe we'll see 15,000 this week. It's coming back to earnings, it seems like. Russell 2000 down 4. Oil up another 81 cents. It looks like there's no stop in oil right now. 83.09. Gold 17.67. Just kind of a flat line there for gold. The 10-year. Wow. You know, that's surprising. It's up 7 basis points this morning to 1.62. And yet the NASDAQ's not too bad here this morning. And last but not least, Bitcoin is up 806 as the first ETF scheduled to launch tomorrow. Bitcoin at 61,813. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. And we've got a lot of China news. We had a pretty good week in the market last week. And Barry, I mean, it was all bad news on the economy. I have to give the up move in the market to earnings. I think that's what I have to attribute that move in the market, especially towards the end of the week on those earnings reports, right?
Yep. And, you know, kind of, almost kind of a Goldilocks, week last week where, you know, we're in that kind of tricky spot where bad economic news is kind of good news, for the market, especially the NASDAQ, because that helps keep, those interest rates down. Going forward, but then also we got an extra tailwind from good earnings news, at least a good start. And usually when the banks do well, a lot of things normally do well, and so I guess maybe hopefully some optimism for the market with the banks having some great earnings last week.
Yeah. Last week it was mostly financial stocks, and but this week we're going to get 80 stocks from the S&P 500 reporting. So we'll get a better, cross-section of the economy this week. It could be fun, and we're off to a good start so far. You know, when we started this season, we were looking for about a 27% increase. Now we're up to 30%. So far the reports have come in better than expected. 80%, again, are beating their earnings. But at this point, we have a pretty small sampling. Today I'm seeing some really good strength underneath the surface of some pretty flat indexes. AMD looks good. Amazon looks good. Goldman Sachs looks good. Lithium America. LNG has been on fire here recently. That is a liquid natural gas stock. Lowe's is looking good. Cloudflare. Snowflake. Those are just some of the ones that I've looked at so far this morning.
Yeah, NET up. Almost right at 4.5% on the day.
I
haven't peeked at the news on that one, but something Something's good. Something good.
That's one that we hold here. That's a cybersecurity stock. All right, so we ended the week on a pretty good note. We had some really strong days last week. We're fighting some technical resistance, but it looks like we're winning that battle here. I think the NASDAQ's probably above the 50-day today, and last week the Dow and the S&P 500 closed above their 50-day moving averages, so that's kind of a victory technically for the markets. And, you know, I mean, I have to attribute it to earnings. There wasn't much good news elsewhere. You know, we had both the inflation reports. We have a horrible supply chain. We've got empty shelves that we're being warned about. Everything seemed really negative on the economic front. But then again, that holds the Fed at bay. And, you know, the CEOs of America seem to be dealing with a lot of headwinds right now, and they're reporting good earnings. So we'll see what happens. GDP out of China, pretty bad. I saw that last night, and I thought, oh, it's going to be an ugly day in the market tomorrow. They came in at just 4.9%. They were expecting 5.2% for the third quarter. I don't know what our GDP, I think our GDP estimates are right around that same number. We'll have to see what happens when we get GDP. But they came in, that's one of the lowest quarters I've seen in a long time. They're blaming it on a renewed round of COVID-19 outbreaks, restrictions. Yeah,
energy shortages. That's the, you know, they've had some power issues Wall Street Journal had an article over the weekend that's kind of hits on what we've been talking about in terms of, you know, lower investment going forward in fossil fuels and how that's going to, you know, kind of create that crunch in terms of the handoff between, you know, fossil fuels and renewables. And you had, I think, saw Chevron's CEO this morning was talking to that point as well in terms of, you know, you're still going to need some fossil fuels, and you're going to need cheaper energy to get us where we need to go. And
yeah, you can't just flip the switch to go from, to green energy. It's going to be a long, long, long transition, but, of course, they want to do it sooner rather than later, and that's causing some crunches here and there. And China's government, I mean, going back to the old way of Mao Zedong, I'm disappointed to see that. But you know what? That's the direction they're going, and it's already it's hurt their stock market big time, which trickles down. I mean, there's a lot of people that are investors in the market, and they don't have as much money to spend in the economy. A healthy market generally, is part of a healthy economy. They kind of go hand in hand. And China has just savaged some of these of their big publicly traded companies, cracking down on them. And, you know, it's showing up in the economy. Well,
it's a balancing
okay.
act for them. They're trying to hold on to power and, you know, trying to hold on to control, of the country and their people versus capitalism and promoting investment. And for them, they really need both. But it's a tricky opposition, tricky spot that they're in my book.
Well, right now they've definitely tilted towards cracking down on the freedom of the people. Mm-hmm. Chinese GDP weighs on global stock markets. Okay, you know, Europe was down, but not a lot. You know, I thought the news would hurt the markets more. Last week we had it was a good week for materials, you know, basic materials. Copper was strong. The earnings report of the week for me was Alcoa, which is aluminum. Mm-hmm. The fertilizer stocks were very strong last week. Oil, obviously. Real estate had a pretty good week last week. Consumer discretionary, tech, financials to some extent. That was kind of where the leadership was last week. And let's not forget, China still has that Evergrande problem. They have $300 billion in debt. You know, we racked that up in a day here in America, but $300 billion in debt for Evergrande. And China's saying, don't worry about it. We got it covered. There's a lot of competitors to Evergrande, and it seems like they're going to do what they have to do to keep Evergrande alive and breathing. In the meantime, the bondholders, I wouldn't want to be a bondholder of Evergrande notes. Okay, and then when we come back, I want to just talk a little bit about liquid natural gas and all of a sudden the extreme demand. And there's really only a few pure plays on that, and we own one of them, and that thing is just rocketing higher right now. We'll talk about that one when we come back. And, yeah, look at that chart. Holy cow. And it's a big dividend payer, too. It pays a 1.2% dividend, but, hey, that's pretty good. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow down 147, NASDAQ up 13. We have a split market so far, and we ended the first quarter talking about China and all the issues that are going on over there, including an energy shortage. Well, they're starting to panic. Major Chinese energy companies, including Sinopec and CNOOC, are in advanced talks with U.S. exporters, including Cheniere Energy and Venture Global, to secure long-term supplies of liquefied natural gas, LNG. Now, I remember a few times over the last decade when liquid natural gas was the way, you know, we were going to really go. You know, a lot of buses and whatnot run on liquid natural gas. It burns cleaner than your standard unleaded. But it never really caught on that much. But I know that Cheniere Energy, which has ties to San Diego, I want to say San Diego Gas and Electric, which is Sempra, invested a lot of money in Cheniere Energy. They believe that eventually liquid natural gas would be you know, in big demand. And that LNG stock, holy cow. The other one they mentioned here, Venture Global, from what I can tell, is a private company. So really the only pure play on liquid natural gas would be Cheniere Energy, which is LNG. That is the symbol. And they're headquartered in Houston, Texas. They operate the Sabine Pass LNG receiving terminal through its 49% interest in Cheniere Energy Partners. This stock is currently ranked number 50 overall in the BestStocksNowApp.com. We own it in our dividend portfolio. It's a $28 billion company. And this report out of China said the discussions that China is having with these companies could lead to deals worth tens of billions of dollars that would mark a surge in China's LNG imports from the U.S. Talks began earlier this year but have accelerated as natural gas prices in Asia, which are pretty much being controlled by Russia, have skyrocketed, causing fears of power shortages this winter. And last week, China reported a 13-year deal with Cheniere, and it looks like they're making more deals to lock in liquid natural gas supplies, something that doesn't get much attention. But I've also noticed that the natural gas drillers, Range Resources comes to mind. There's a few others that pretty much focus on natural gas. Those stocks have been pretty hot lately, Barry.
Well, yeah, and for China, I wonder how much the, you know, kind of a dispute that's kind of heated up over the last year or two, right, with Australia. You know, Australia is a big, you know, is a big liquefied natural gas exporter, and so
right.
You know, in terms of I haven't dove into the trade agreements between those two countries, assuming
right.
they have one. But you know, I know my guess is that hasn't been great for China's energy supply either.
Right, right. Yep. Australia's got plenty of natural resources, but that's a chilly relationship right now between China. I guess ours is a little better than their relationship with China.
Yeah, and geographically they're a little closer, so they're
a lot closer.
They have to be they certainly have to be kind of kind of lead the forefront, at least on the Pacific Rim, in terms of trying to keep them keep China in check as much as possible, I guess.
Yep. One more China story that we'll leave China and talk about some macro outlooks on the market. Apple drops the popular Koran app in China on regulators' request. So, you know, there's just more evidence of China just cracking down. If you're caught with the Koran app on your iPhone, you're in trouble. So Apple just removed it. They dropped the, it's very popular, you know, it's the Koran on the app there. And China's not really real favorable towards religion.
And they have a lot of Christians there too. That are there's both Muslims and Christians in
yep.
China. You know, that's part of the grasping or trying to maintain power there, which in turn, right, is hurting them economically. So they're in a precarious situation. And why is it
yep.
so important? It's China's global, China's basically added a percent of the 3% of global growth that's occurred since the financial crisis in 2008-09. So they make
yeah.
up essentially a third of global growth. So, they are very important.
And almost 30% of world population too,
Right.
Two,
yeah.
2 billion
very
people.
True.
So,
yeah.
They wield a lot of power. They're flinging hypersonic missiles through outer space. It's getting a little
too.
Bit scary yeah. there with China. I don't know if the Bible app is the next one to go, but, China wants your allegiance to the state and not to your God, and that's kind of the communist way.
Well, that is
Let's
religion,
hope we don't go
yeah.
that way here.
Right.
In the U.S. Okay, stagflation, not properly priced into financial market. Now, this is one opinion. I've never heard of this particular firm, but it is being quoted on Seeking Alpha today. Crescat Capital argues in a letter to investors that financial markets have not correctly priced the stagflationary environment that has become evident in recent economic data. Now, last week we were reading the big firms kind of just, blowing this off. There won't be stagflation. I personally lean more towards this opinion that we have a good chance of seeing stagflation going forward. We certainly have the flation part. I mean, everywhere you look, whether it's a pork shoulder roast at the supermarket or filling up your gas tank, we're seeing the flation part. And I think we're starting to see the stagnation part in our economy. Now, whether they can balance those two and keep them from colliding, Crescat CIO, Chief Investment Officer Kevin Smith, pointed to a structural problems in the global supply chain and a looming credit crisis in China for the stagflationary conditions. Well, I mean, they certainly were right about a slowdown in China. And let's not forget, a slowdown in China generally means, translates into a slowdown in the global economy. These two people at Crescat also see challenges for the U.S. economy, with inflation remaining elevated and growth slowing down. So we'll see. I mean, that's kind of your worst nightmare is stagflation. Okay, and Bank of America, there's always something to worry about. In fact, the title of the newsletter last week, The Market Climbs a Wall of Worry. It always does. There's all these worries. And you know what won out over all the worries last week? It came down to earnings. But we
great
come
wall
back
today.
I just want to mention the rate shock. that B of A says is coming. And then we'll get into a lot of individual companies. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite on this Monday where, hey, the NASDAQ continues to rise.
This is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. The next shock the markets will have to brace for, according to B of A. I did see an interview with Brian Moynihan this morning, who's the CEO of Bank of America. He says it will be a rate shock. In 2020, there was a growth shock. Okay, I want to stop just for a minute on that growth shock. On April 29th of 2020, I mean, we were still pretty deeply heavily shut down, mostly shut down, COVID. And I put my head on the chopping block and came out with an article because I believed in it wholeheartedly. I said, get ready for a V-shaped recovery in the economy. That thing had 76,000 page reads. It had 1,290 comments, most of which called me a loony, right? Well, now Bank of America is saying, gosh, we were shocked by this V-shaped recovery in the economy last year, which I predicted. And not only did that, I was missed the bottom of the market by just 4 days. And I was just going through the comments here during the break, and there's a lot of these laughing out loud. How's your V-shaped recovery going? Well, it's gone just fine. In fact, the market doubled in the quickest time that it has ever doubled before. And, I had many people, nothing suggests a V-shaped recovery. You're crazy, Gunderson. But, that I like the best. Let me see if I can find it. Someone said,
"Can you read that out loud? Can you read it out loud?"
No, no. This guy actually, he says, this guy has been dead on. He called the bottom of the market. Maybe you ought to listen to him. So, anyways, Gunderson was right again. I have the shirts to prove it. I have shirts that say Gunderson was right again. I called the V-shaped recovery. Now, Bank of America calling for a big. I do think we're going to see much higher interest rates going forward. Where do you stand on that, Barry? So most people say it'll stop at around 2. What's your prediction?
Well, there? I think percentage-wise, in terms of gains from where we are, I certainly think we're in for significantly higher rates, right? When you look at remember when we went from what 0.7 to 1.4, well, that's 100% yes. increase. But I do think, at least, can make your own argument for the Fed, politically, what have you. But, they did kind of navigate the recovery pretty well coming out of 08, 09. And, I think at least with the U.S. leading in global growth, I think the Fed will have the ability to kind of unwind this in a measured manner, because you're still, you still have Europe, significantly behind, not unlike, 08, 09, right? When you had the pigs with Portugal, Ireland, Greece, right? Italy, remember, in Spain, in terms of, they were in, lots of turmoil, even in 2011, 12, in terms of their, debt crisis. So, I think, with us out front, we kind of have the ability to raise those rates, a little bit more measured compared to the rest of the globe. So, as long as we kind of, as long as growth doesn't wane here, which is, which with some of those stagflation stories, right, is possible. But, I think that will, I think that does give, the U.S. a little bit more, ability to kind of slow play this. Now, you know, it, like we were talking about, one of our balls in the air is, you know, what's interest rates going to do? But also,
right,
you know, right now we're, you know, throwing around, you know, do we want, you know, is Powell even going to be in charge? You know, so, it, you know, it, that part to me is a little bit more concerning than actually what happens with rates. It's really, you know, kind of what happens with leadership and some of the, you know, differing opinions, you know, at the Fed.
That's right. Well, we shall see, but I think the path of least resistance is for rates to continue to rise.
Right.
Crude oil wraps up 8 straight week of price gains. I saw a guy this morning also being interviewed. He's an expert. He sees there's really, he can't see any stopping oil prices rising to above $100 per barrel. And, you know, this is a guy, a veteran in the industry, has been around for a long, long time. Tomorrow, Bitcoin future ETF to launch. And that's ProShares, which I've followed ProShares for quite some time. They were one of the pioneers in the inverse ETFs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Financial markets writing for the expected launch of the first U.S. Bitcoin futures ETF on Tuesday. The symbol BITO. Okay, I'm going to write that down because I got to add that to the Best Stocks Now app. You know, really, the only kind of pure play up till now has been GBTC, which I own a little bit of. It's converting also, I think, from a trust
to
an
ETF. That. Yep.
And then there's going to be a lot of Bitcoin ETFs. So you say, well, I can't afford Bitcoin at $63,000. Well, Grayscale's Bitcoin ETF is $48 per share. So there's a lot of ways if you're want to get exposure to it. There's a lot of ways to get exposure to it. The trucking companies, on Friday it was J.B. Hunt.
J.B. Hunt, wow.
Which, you know, I remember them, like, you're going in the slow lane and all of a sudden the J.B. Hunt truck kicks up all this snow and dirt and rocks and cracks your windshield. They don't care. He's on his way to the Travel America for coffee. Anyways, J.B. Hunt broke out with a vengeance, and that's not the only one. I mean, Old Dominion shipping costs continue to skyrocket, not just overseas shipping costs on the boats, but once it gets to land, the truckers, they're in demand. And that's been a pretty good sector, actually, to invest in. And now you've seen Dollar General. They're going to have to call it $2 General, I guess, you know, because nothing's a dollar anymore. And the 99-cent only store is going to be the $1.99 only store as things continue to go up. J.B. Hunt, revenue per load, they blame declining volumes on labor shortages. In other words, they could be shipping a whole lot more, but they can't get the help to do it. So that's going to continue to be very inflationary. Factor too is the transportation sector and getting these goods shipped. Biogen slips after their ALS study fails to reach primary endpoint. You know, Biogen's just had nothing but bad news. I want to say they put Biogen into the Dow, didn't they, recently? Wasn't it Biogen or was it Amgen? Ah, no, it was Amgen, I think.
Was it? Yeah, I think it was Amgen. It's funny, you know, the Dow, it's like I look at the, you know, the stocks that make up that all the time, and it for some
changes.
Reason in my head there's names that are still in there that aren't, and vice versa.
So yeah, Alcoa and Sears.
I almost
what
have to look
to
at it every
Where
week.
Where did they go? Yeah. Biogen slips after their ALS study. Of course, they're the ones that came up with the drug, very controversial for Alzheimer's. It was approved by the FDA. And a lot of people left the FDA after that. There's a new player in the COVID-19. I was looking at this one, Valneva, V-A-L-N. V-A-L-N is up 34% today, 34%. I was reading about what a big business. I mean, it's like $100 billion up for grabs next year, 2022. For a vaccine, for the vaccine makers. Apple's going to have a big day this week with their Mac makeover. They're making their own chips now. And we continue to own Apple. It's been obviously very good to us. It's a little weak today, but they had that news last week that, you know, they have to slow down the iPhone 13 because of part shortages, supply chain. But we'll see what Apple is going to announce with their new Macs. I've always been a Windows person. You know, I know that's not popular in today's world, but I never did, other than learning how to write an app on the iOS. I had to teach myself how to do that. But
yeah, well, in our business, Excel was always, you know, Excel has always been kind of key to what
exactly.
We do. And you know, even I know, you know, when my dad, even a handful of years ago, when he finally switched over to Apple, actually, you know, it runs parallel system, right? He goes on one side to do Microsoft,
system.
And so now in reality, he's still on Windows. So
yeah, all right. Well, when we come back, I got several stocks that are jumping off the page at me here. Yes, I'm going to have to narrow it down to just a couple here. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite on the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Jumping off the page to me here, S&P just went positive by a point. NASDAQ's up 23. How about Tesla today? Do you know the all-time high on Tesla was 880, and Tesla right now is 863, just $17 away from its all-time high that it set back in February. And you remember that February swoon, Tesla went from 880 clear down to 550. That was a really big swoon in there. That was a 30% drop. Now it's hitting 863 today. It's breaking out big time. It was ranked at number 5 overall last week. Tesla is currently ranked at number 12 overall out of 5,934. Maybe we'll see a trillion on Tesla. It's $854 billion. By contrast, Ford is $62 billion. One-twelfth the size, one-thirteenth the size of Tesla. And you certainly see more Teslas on the Fords on the road than Tesla, whatever, but there it is. Tesla is on fire. Okay, the other one that I was trying to think of this stock when we were talking about natural gas, but a pure play, another fairly pure play on natural gas is Apache. It's I guess they've renamed it. I've always known it as Apache. Their website is still ApacheCorp.com. Now it's APA Corp. It is headquartered, I want to say Texas. Yeah, Houston, Texas. And it is breaking out today. That's a very nice technical pattern. And the stock is ranked, APA is ranked at number... No, you know, it's ranked at 4,905, but I think maybe it
that momentum grade's got to be pretty.
Yeah, the momentum, that's where I'm finding it. It's on my A plus momentum grade list. It's 96 on the Investor's Business Daily list. Yeah, that's where it's shown up. It's on my A plus momentum list today, and we were talking about China. And making some huge purchases of liquid natural gas. Well, you got to have the natural gas first to convert it to the liquid. And APA is right down there where Cheniere is, and I'm sure probably got some contracts to supply natural gas to Cheniere. I can't say that for sure, but that stock is on fire.
Well, that's an important important news story last week. Kind of you referred to this just in terms of how that industry works.
Yeah.
The headline was APA ends routine flaring at U.S. onshore operations. So they're like, we don't want to burn off the natural gas anymore. We're going to actually capture it because we want to use it, because prices are so high. So no more, cut back on the flaring. We don't want to burn the money. Let's go ahead and capture it and turn it into cash.
Yeah, and I remember all of the stories about Western Texas just being like lit up at night with all the flaring of natural gas because natural gas prices were so low. Well, it's the old story, and then pretty soon they'll start, okay, quit flaring, let's pump more, and then pretty soon the price will start to go.
Boom and bust, yeah.
That's the problem. It's boom or bust in that industry. But right now, China is caught short, and they're hoarding, and they're panicking about not having enough energy for the winter. And the other one I mentioned was Range Resources, RRC. It's a very powerful stock chart, and it's ranked in my top 200 right now. And then the third one here, most people don't realize this, but the two top indexes around the world this year, number one is Russia. We're helping Russia big time. I mean, we're doing their bidding by crimping our production of, being energy independent, I guess you could say. That's helping Russia big time with $82. We're now purchasing oil from Russia. That's the number one index in the world. Number two is India. And India, believe it or not, has a company that is very well diversified in Australia. They're in Australia, but they have copper. Zinc prices are soaring. I read about that last week. And we know about aluminum. So here's a company that has exposure to copper, zinc, and aluminum. It's called Vedanta, Vedanta Limited. Wow, look at that chart today. It's up 11.3%. I watched it. I almost bought it back when I bought Freeport MacMoran instead back then. But this Vedanta, VEDL, is ranked number 118 out of 5,934. That's probably helping propel the India, index. One of the reasons is, but India is also having a very good year with their tech stocks and some of their banks. But VEDL would be another one that jumps off the page. So there's three today. Tesla closing in on a new all-time high. APA, which used to be known as Apache, a big natural gas exploration company. And this Vedanta, which has exposure to copper, zinc, and aluminum. All right. Well, you know what? I put my heart and soul into the newsletter. I got it out Friday like I promised I would. Check out the latest on the earnings season. I did a very important update on this current earnings season. And we made a couple of fairly big, significant buys last week. So I offer everybody out there two free weeks of my everything newsletter, just like an everything bagel. It's got everything on it. You get that for 2 weeks. Then you get a plain bagel, or you get a sesame bagel for a couple weeks. Then I cut you down to the plain bagel, which is still loaded with information. Just that front page, Barry, with all the highlights from the week and what happened and my comments on it, that's worth a lot. And we give that out for free until you cry uncle. You go to Gunderson Capital. com, and we've been busy talking to folks and putting new money to work. You can give us a call at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.